We're sitting over in the waterside at Conkers, and I've only had probably about an hour and a half sleep last night due to my wonderful daughter's coughing ability keeping me up all night. I'm sitting with Emma Byron Jones.
No, Bryn.
Bryn Jones. I don't know where Byron come from. Love that name though.
It's a famous
and
poet.
There you go. And we're just looking over the list of things that we've managed to pull off in the last month, basically, since October the 20th, now November the 20th. We've got 8 days to go until the first Conker 2 event. We are looking around the site today for where we can have lunch. We're making sure that the Rawdon Room, which is where we're having the sessions, is going to have the right desk organisation and layout. We've also got a local parish council coming. Do you want to talk a little bit about the parish council, what they're actually doing here?
There's a group of parish councils. There's been a campaign locally in Moira, down the road from the Conkers National Forest Visitor Centre, because there's been an issue about the local fire station, Moira Fire Station, and whether or not it should stay open or not. And the local parishes that are affected by that, and that's not just Moira, but it's Measham, Appleby Magna, various outlying villages, have been fighting together on this. And as a result of their battle, if you like, they've created a community group called the Forest Community Pressure Group, because they want to ensure that local services are better in this area. That was formed during the time we decided that we were going to launch Conker 2. And I spoke to them about the project, and we'd always had this idea of, you know, social media enabling communities. So we're going to be working with them during the afternoon of the Conker 2 launch in creating their own website, so that each parish, each village can have a site within a site and keep people up to date about what's going on in the area, and what they're working for in the way of local community services. And they're going to be in the art gallery, just next to us, in the main Rawdon Room area. Hopefully they shall be learning about how to post to the site you're going to create for them.
Yeah.
And then we're looking for them to show us what they've done by the end of it, which should be quite interesting.
It should be. I hope it is. Anyway, we're trying to amalgamate, if you like, lots of content into one place and make it very easy for people to post to. So I've got to try and come across with that as easy as possible, but we think using the new Posterous or Tumblr we'll be able to do it similarly like we've done with Conker 2, really. I mean, within a month we managed to get a website together and various content to it. Quickly want to talk about people who have helped us up to now with sponsorship and sponsoring. The Green Bus.
The Green Bus was a turning point, I think, we're at, because until somebody turned around and said, yeah, fine, we'll give you something for free, it was kind of like we had this idea, and it was just absolutely brilliant. I never forget getting the email that kind of said, yeah, we'll put the Green Bus on from Tamworth Station to Conkers and back. And I sort of went, like, do you mean that's for free? And they went, yeah. We've also had other sponsorship as a result of that, or was coming in after that. We've had sponsorship for splicing the theme. I don't quite understand exactly what all of that means.
Well, the custom theme for Tumblr. So, I mean, instead of just being a normal Tumblr domain, we've rerouted the name. So we've got a conker2.com.
Yeah.
And we've designed a theme for it to look, you know, nice for the site.
Yeah.
And somebody sponsored us to do that.
Yeah. Paul Beck sponsored us, I think, about £60 to do that, which was quite nice. So.
PJB_58.
On Twitter, yeah.
Also, we had some domain name sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely brilliant that Fresh Ties have got involved, because, you know, they are so committed to working with community-based projects, and I was delighted that they turned around and said, yeah, we'll sponsor the domain name. And then, of course, there's Glenn Lasanto at Lasanto on Twitter, you know, who is a live event blogger. He also gets involved in you know, consultation type projects, so that was brilliant. The other one who's been an absolute gem for us is quite a new Twitter account. It's called @Ibstock_does, as in @Ibstock does climate change. It's a wonderful gentleman called John O'Farrell, who was actually involved in creating the Ashby Heritage Trail over here in the Ashby Wells area, so going from Moira up into Measham, reopening the canal basin. We're sitting right next to the bath yard here on the waterside in Conkers. And John, since he first started work on things to do with Ashby Wells, has been living after that in Ibstock. And has been, you know, involved in 1010 projects and, as I said, tackling climate change over there. He has been absolutely amazing because he's so committed to green lifestyles, sustainable lifestyles, and he's just gone out of his way to help us left, right and centre with media contacts, with retweeting things that we've said, with advising other people of what we're doing. He's actually put us forward for a web award, hasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. In fact, loads of people have supported us. You know, within 4 weeks, it's been quite amazing that people sort of coming out of the woodwork and saying, oh, can't believe you're putting this on. And, yeah, you know, it's been a little bit slow on the uptake, but I think that's the time of year and stuff. But we've got about 40, 50 people coming. So we've got, at the moment, that is. I mean, we've got 8 days to go. Yeah. So another thing I want to quickly talk about from a tech perspective, and I'll try and be as less geeky as possible, being in the heart of the National Forest, trying to get connectivity here has been very, very difficult, and we've learned a lot of lessons in 4 weeks, more than I probably should have to do in 3 months. We've tried multiple mobile carriers, we've tried talking with neighbouring businesses about, you know, piggybacking their fibre, their internet, so that we can have a better connection. We even looked at buildings on site that we can maybe rent for just the day. You know, we've really done the groundwork for future events, really, and we still believe that the connectivity side, as well as bringing these people who are, you know, very sort of respectable in their own right in knowing about sustainability and environmental issues, I think the fusion between the two of them is quite an exciting thing. I think when we took this on board, I think 2 weeks ago, we were scared to death that, you know, we were in free fall a little bit. How are you feeling now?
I'm still nervous. I think you can't not be launching something and not feel nervous, but I think the vision that we had of using the geographic centre of England as a tweet-up base, marrying real-time exchange of ideas and that sort of meeting tweet-up ideal, but being able to put information using, you know, social media to, at its best to disseminate information, to give people access to information, I think we're getting there. And I think, you know, there's two arguments to this. There's the one that, you know, here we are at the Geographic Centre of England, we're in one of the major environmental project in the UK. The National Forest has been going since the late 80s. And, you know, we've all paid taxes for this to happen. And so it's a good place for, you know, environmental messages to come out from, for people to exchange ideas and talk about it. And social media seems like the appropriate vehicle to do that. So whilst it's been hiccupy, whilst it's been bumpy, and whilst it's by no means going to be absolutely, you know, state-of-the-art technology, hopefully people will start having the dialogue, see the potential, and take that message out there that, you know, we don't all need to come to Concatoo every single time, but we can come to one or two, and we can still dip in and out through social media and talk to one another and keep that dialogue going.
Cool. So literally it is what we do on one Friday. Tomorrow we have a week to go. We've literally just gone around the pavilion. Let's tell people a little bit what they can expect for lunch, because that excites me quite a little bit. When you said I'm going to get a side of ham, for the geek in me who normally eats reheated pizza and the occasional whatever is in the back of the fridge, tell people what we've found today and what we hope to deliver for them when they have lunch here.
I have to say that I am a devotee of camp kitchens, and I don't mean dressing up in frilly skirts to cook. I kind of had a feeling that we might need to do the food on a zero credit kind of budget, and I was sort of thinking ideas all the way along. And I think I like the idea of people having something to pick up and run with, and the pavilion had been offered to us for some time for serving food. And having gone in there today and looked at it in more close detail, we can really have kind of a rumpus breakout area. We're going to have a gas stove. We're going to cook hot American-style pancakes or Dutch-style pancakes. They're both very similar, on a griddle. And there's going to be a side of ham sliced up, home-cooked ham. And I'm going to get some local Spark and Hoe cheese grated, so that you can put ham on its own or cheese on its own, or if you so wish, ham and cheese, roll up your pancake, walk off and run around. The great thing about the pavilion is that we will be able to house most people in there. I didn't realise how big it was. I don't think you did.
No, I didn't. I didn't have a clue how big it was. Also, we found those cups as well. We might do a punch type thing, maybe.
I think I'm going to look at a variety of punch and iced tea type options. Yeah, we've always been thinking about the sustainability side of the food that we serve. We don't want things that are overpackaged. We don't want to produce a lot of waste. Lo and behold, there's a whole bucket full of yogurt cups ready for crafting with the ranges for the kiddies, and I'm sitting there thinking, I don't mind washing those up afterwards if nobody minds drinking out of them. So yeah, there might be a punch.
I think we put them on the side as an option. I think the people who are brave enough and sort of get into the mood of the day, I think they'll love it. I think we're a little bit, I mean, remember, this is something that's come together in 4 weeks with two of us who both work. Well, I've been working on the Conk stuff in the background, but you know, Emma's a teacher and I've been sort of searching around for other jobs and things, and it has been a lot of work so far.
I think there's also, yeah, there is that. And I think often people judge things by finished products of other things that we see. But I think one of the great things about this for me is starting it from scratch and, you know, sticking within this ideal of buying nothing, of spending nothing, of keeping it on a minimum budget. What can you actually achieve with very little indeed?
And we support
the sense of fun of going, you know what, sod it, we are just going to do it this way, or drink out of a plastic cup, or bring some vegetables and see what happens. I like the unpredictability. Out of unpredictability comes creative, imaginative, innovative ideas, and that fundamentally is what will sustain our future on this planet.
And we're completely fully supporting Buy Nothing Day. Do you want to give people a quick little bit of overview about that?
Buy Nothing Day is something that I came across as zero credit, and the concept is basically that we take a day out of the calendar on which we buy nothing. It's been going internationally for quite some years. The Adbusters site has a lot about it, and the UK, the Buy Nothing Day site, and it's celebrated all over the world. The rationale for celebrating it a month or so before Christmas is that, you know, that's traditionally one of the busiest shopping Saturdays, when we all go out and buy packaged Christmas cards and little dancing flowers to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Which we don't need.
We don't need them. You know, how many Christmas presents end up being, you know, given to charity shops or put on a list to redistribute to somebody next year, or, you know, throughout all of the women's magazines you get, you know, what to do with your unwanted gifts. Well, in the first place, why not have them? Why have them in the first place? Mm-hmm. There's so many things that we buy that we don't actually need. And fundamentally, you know, Christmas or Eid or whatever you celebrate is about bringing people together and celebrating the fact that you have time together, that you have a common sense of ideal, of religion, of well-being, of whatever it may be. And that's why I, you know, think launching on Buy Nothing Day for Conker 2 was a really important thing. You know, we're launching with property. It's the biggest area of expenditure. Often what happens is that people spend at Christmas and then sort of panic in January when they can't pay the mortgage payment or whatever. So we're hoping that bringing those two together on this particular date will say to people, you know what, there's more important than that little dancing flower.
Absolutely. And just as a final closer here, we've got 8 days to go. I'm hoping that we get sort of an influx of maybe another 15, 20 people. We've got some very high profile people opening Conker 2, the initial launch. Tell us a little bit about the people that are signed up for the day, who are coming.
There's a number of them. I think the biggest coup, first of all, was the fact that Gil Shalom and Penny Poyser, who created the Nottingham Eco House, said straight away, unequivocally, that they wanted to become involved in this, because they might not necessarily be hugely known in the Twitter community, but within the green sustainability community, they're inordinately well respected. It was one of the first eco houses built in created in the UK. It wasn't built as an eco house, they adapted it.
It's originally Victorian.
It's originally a Victorian house, and I'm going to be really interested to see what they've got to say. Penny Poyser is also, you know, heavily involved with the Low Carbon Communities Network, which is vocal on Twitter. But, you know, she's a leading authority on sustainability issues, so that's going to be really interesting having her. Julian Dobson, I'm really looking forward to having. I've ever since I started on Twitter, I've followed him for quite a long time, and you know, he travels all over the UK to different parish groups, local authorities. He's heavily involved in sustainable projects, not just from the point of view of being green, but in terms of communities actively helping themselves. So he's going to be able to give us a real flavour of different points of view, different approaches from across the country, and he's a poet, so he's going to put it in a way that you know is just going to be very memorable. And then, of course, Piper Terrett, who runs the MSN blog about the frugal life, published a book, The Frugal Life. Lovely, lovely lady. She tries out something new all the time. You know, her blog is so refreshing to read because one day she'll have tried skip diving, one day she'll have tried, you know, knitting her own socks. She's always willing to take on something new or different. She's recently voted Green Voice of Britain with the Energy Saving Trust, and it was actually when I went up to film the Lammas Project that I had the idea, you know, I really ought to ask Piper to open this, because it was a beautiful photograph of her outside the House of Commons on this lovely green throne. And then when I was at the Lammas Project, there was this beautiful wooden throne.
Yes, I saw that
they built, yeah. In fact, for Simon's father-in-law to sit on, because he's, you know, a bit achy, can't sit on the floor kind of thing. Mm. And I was thinking, that actually is the green throne. The green throne is, you know, built out of, you know, sustainable wood that's been cut down to manage woodland and so on and so forth. And then when I asked Piper, she, you know, she didn't hesitate. She's like, I'd love to come. And she said, oh, it'd be a bit of an adventure. So yeah, I like the enthusiasm that people are having for coming together and trying something different and new. It's going to be great.
Cool. So if you want to sign up and you haven't signed up and you're listening to this audio book, because I know there's quite a few people follow it, if you can retweet this out, that would be fantastic. If you go to the Conquer 2, that's tu.com website, top right hand corner, and across the sidebar on the right hand side there is buttons where you can click and sign up for the event. The event is free, you won't have to pay for anything. It is on Buy Nothing Day. You literally turn up, there'll be some fantastic sessions, there's some fantastic areas to walk around so you can refresh yourself. Don't feel like it's going to be stuffy and you're going to be lectured to. It's going to be a very sort of engaging community. You're very passionate about the area of expertise. And you'll have a really nice day out. And don't forget to bring the kids. That's it. Conquer 2. And a scarf. and maybe wellies. And maybe a windbreak. That's it. Thank you very much. See you later. Bye.